Steve Schramm, I think, is sick today. So, yeah. And pray for Steve. And if you will, take your Bibles tonight and let's go to the New Testament, the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians. I love that red hymnal he's talking about. It sits on our piano at home, and it's Nita's favorite. And it's been a favorite of many musicians down through the years. I hear them all keep talking about this red hymnal. And we've got him at our place, too, and some great old songs in there. I appreciate Brother Ron doing that. What a blessing that is. Tonight, Philippians, we're going to look in Philippians chapter 4. And a few things that we just want to encourage you on. One is it was a blessing this week to hear some folks come back and said they had a chance to be in Toledo this week and visit with Brother Harold Rose. And that's, so I think, Bunny and Jim Bargo and Bob Sabo and Pat Kilgrove, I believe it was, the four of you. And I think it was went down there. But the thing that kind of alarmed me is Bunny told me this morning when I come in that I have to do a wedding. I said, a wedding? I said, what is that? And so she said, you got to do a wedding. And I said, who's getting married? She goes, Rosie. And I was getting married. And I was a little bit surprised. She goes, yeah, I guess when he's 100, he's going to get married. And I thought, what? And so I don't know. It sounded like Rosie's having too much fun down there in Toledo. And maybe he needs to be supervised a little bit closer. And so I don't know who he's got his eye on down there. But anyway, it's always good. I always enjoy my visits when I get a chance to see Brother Rose. So what a blessing that man is. Just pray for him. He continues, you know, to struggle with odds and ends. I know he's hard of hearing and other challenges along the way, but just continue to pray for Rosie down there in Toledo. He's in a good place, and I'm sure the folks that went down there this week enjoyed their visit with him. Also, on Monday, we had a chance to go out to Belleville and help the Hook family kind of load some things up. And so they had a van. Robin was there, and Cindy, and that, and so a few of us went out there, and we were able to load up a couple recliners, his TV and his bed, and a few things that he had, and they were headed to Kalamazoo Monday afternoon. So getting him all settled in. So I'll get an address, and once we get an address on that, we'll get it, maybe put it in the bulletin. That way any of you, our congregation is great about writing notes and cards and letters or along the way, and so we'll get that in the bulletin for you so you'll have an address. That way you can send Brother Dick a card. I told him, I said, I'll be out there to see you. He said, I'm counting on it and that. And so I'm going to miss that guy. He's been a real blessing here at First Baptist Church for probably 30 years and that. And been a great servant of the Lord, faithful, hardworking, dedicated man. And I'm going to miss him big time. Many of you already know this, but maybe some don't. He mowed our church grass all the way through last summer. And so I remember when Marie passed away, he came to me one day, said, Pastor, put me to work. What can I do? And I said, well, we need help cutting the grass. So you want to? Absolutely. So he's been on that mower ever since Marie passed, and what a blessing that is. But he's also served as a deacon and just provided some real leadership in the church. And so we're going to miss him big time. But anyway, tonight I just thought I'd take a minute, and before we read our text tonight, who's got a blessing that they could share? And somebody has a blessing that you've been blessed, and you just can't get it out and make it short and sweet tonight. Who's been blessed this week, and you got something you want to share by way of a blessing? Okay, Linda? Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else, blessing, something you're thankful for in that tonight. Okay. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Sure.
So it took for me probably 30, 40 years to come to the position, you know, where I see how important to love one another and to reach out to the world. Because really, they're dying without the message of Christ. And sometimes as we grow older in Christ, we can lose that urgency, you know, because we're comfortable, things are okay. But the world, as you see, the coronavirus, people are dying physically, emotionally, and in their spirit without God.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. And the world knows that we need more love, and the Bible's very clear. God is love. And so the more, I read a thing the other day, and it made a lot of sense, and it kind of hit me real hard. I thought, you know, it said the unsaved world, the non-believer, most of them don't read their Bible, but what they read is other Christians. And so I thought, well, sometimes you're the only Bible some people are going to see. And so what we say, what we do, the love that we show and the kindness that we give, how important that is in the Christian life and that. So, amen. Okay, Diana? Who is this now?
Zim.
Oh, Zim. Yeah. Wow, praise the Lord. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, it is. Yep. Yeah, amen. And Zim was sitting right down here this morning in the wheelchair, and so pray for him. Lord will continue have his hand on him and the family and his continued health and well-being. So what a blessing. We're a real blessing today to be able to baptize Frank and Julie Barrett, and what a privilege to be able to do that. It was a real privilege to be able to sit down with him in the office, and as I mentioned this morning, he came from a Church of Christ background. Thought he was pretty well sure he was saved when he was 15, 16 years of age, but was not 100% sure. And Julie grew up in a United Methodist background and clearly was not saved. And so I had the privilege to lead her to Christ and then go through assurance of salvation with him. And they both wanted to come and join the church. They've been visiting for a little bit now. And I said, well, in order to do that, you got to make sure that you know that you're saved, and that you're a believer in Christ, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I was excited to meet with them. They even brought their baptismal certificates to show me from when they were baptized. But you know, if you're not baptized by immersion, we don't recognize that baptism in the Baptist church. And that if you're baptized by sprinkling or pouring or whatever else it is, they right away agreed, said that, yeah, absolutely, we want to be baptized. And so we're excited to have them in the fellowship of the church and continue to pray for them. Frank is retired as a firefighter from the Canton Fire Department and so just pray for them as they engage. And they have been engaged and been coming. Frank's been coming on Monday morning and helping Peter and Janet back here and that volunteer and to come in to help out. And so praise the Lord for that. Let's go to Philippians 4 tonight and take a look at this text of Scripture. If you look at the blessings here of Philippians chapter 4, Paul mentions several things in here that he really identifies. I think I would call them blessings and things that you can identify with and that Paul gives to us. And I think number one, let's take a look at this, if you will. Beginning in verse 1, Paul said to the church at Philippi, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, and my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, and let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, this is like his salutation, like he's ending. He said, "Finally, my brethren, Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, having flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, Paul said in verse 11, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And notwithstanding, ye have well done that you communicate with my affliction. And now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I love verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's go back to verse 1, if you will. Let me point out, I think, some things in here that Paul is getting across to the church at Philippi that are a real blessing and things that we should think about. And I think the first thing is our position, talking about his position in Christ. Look at it in verse 1. He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And I put beside verse 1, your position in Christ. You talk about blessings, talking about things to be thankful for. The first thing should be our position, that you are positioned in Christ. And we think about, I mentioned this morning the prodigal son and the father, as he had the sons, and the one son stayed home and the one son traveled out into the world to live his world and to live his own life. But when he finally hit the bottom of the road and to the end of the barrel and come to his wits of what's going on, he went back to his father's house. And to realize that he had a position there, he still belonged a part of the family. So here Paul in this talks about the saints. And think about that, the saints that stand fast here in the Lord and in this. And I think one key thing here that he talks about here, that you and I are in Christ. And the important part is to realize that that when we think about here what we long for, so stand fast, what? In the Lord. And so you and I are in Christ. And many times Paul uses that in the Word of God. Paul used it first in verse 1 here, but it suggests our position, our believer's position in Christ, and God's Word divides men into two classes. They're simply, you know, and we hear a lot in our society today about races, and I don't believe God sees, you know, God sees humanity. And I hear a lot going on, especially in this political campaign, about things being racist and this and that. But when you look at it in the Bible, God does not see it that way. They're either saved or they're lost. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And there are many races across, and sometimes people try to weaponize that and use that to divide our society. But here we find the only way God divides it, you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. So one of the blessings is to realize that we are positioned in Christ. So when we talk about count your blessings, I think that would be number one. Look at it in verse 4. I think the second thing is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. By that meaning, praise. Counting your blessings, you know, and realizing we have many things that we can be thankful for. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, we're born again by his blood, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have much to rejoice over, much to be thankful for, and much to rejoice in, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we really should rejoice in the Lord. And he says what? Sometimes? No. He says always. And again, I say rejoice. So by counting our blessings, positionally, you're in Christ. So that alone right there should allow us to be able to testify of the Lord and the good things he's done is our position in him. And then secondly, no matter where you're at in the Christian life, to be able to praise his name and to be able to rejoice in the Lord. In Sunday school this morning, we had a lesson out of Numbers 21 and talked about there how that there Israel became discouraged because of the way that they traveled. When they were leaving Egypt, they had not yet arrived at the promised land. So between down in Egypt and Canaan, they're traveling through this wilderness area, and the Bible says that they became discouraged of the way, became discouraged of the journey that they're on, became, you know, when I looked at the definition of that word, discouraged along the way, you know what it means? It really means this. It really means that you lack enthusiasm, or you've become disheartened, or you've kind of, things have kind of cooled off. And so when you think about it, and we talked about it in Sunday school today, sometimes people get discouraged along the way. And but even that, we should be able to find, and the importance to be able to praise the Lord, even on the most difficult days and challenging of days and challenging of times, there's always something that you can praise the Lord for. There's always something you can praise God for. And so we find here to count our blessings, number one is to realize the position that you're in, placed in Christ, anchored in Christ. And secondly then, and to realize that you are connected to the greatest of all, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that is worth praising the Lord for and honoring him. Look at it, if you will, as you continue on, look at this in verse 6. I think something else to praise the Lord for. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, he says, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't get caught up in being anxious. Don't, but in everything, not some things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So let me ask you tonight, what's your request? And he comes here and he says, you know, if you're living in anxiety, God desires that we don't live in anxiety. If you're living in confusion, God is not the author of confusion. You talk about love a moment ago. God is love, and we should be walking in his love and sharing that. And so don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, if you really sat and looked at it, there's a lot of things to worry about. We could worry about things that are going on. I mean, if you just watch the news cycle and the news feeds in the world around us, it would have you right on the edge of your seat all the time, worrying about this, worrying about that. And God says, don't be anxious for that. Don't worry about none of that. God's got it all in control. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication and with thanksgiving, I think that word is thanksgiving is so important, let your request be made known unto God. So I think this is the greatest blessing of all. No one outside of Christ can experience and enjoy the ministry of prayer. And that's really what it is, the ministry of prayer. Prayer is a blessing that you and I can have of the child of God, and a comfort to know that we can commit everything into his hands. And really, prayer is just a communication with him, a relationship with him, and talking to him. So whatever's going on in our hearts and minds, we should be able to talk to the Lord about it. The difficult, the ugly, the challenging, the good things, the blessings along the way, and to be able to know that we can communicate with him. We have that privilege of trusting him for all things. Psalm 37, I preached on this here a while back. Commit thy way into the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so we need to commit our way unto the Lord. So positionally, we're in Christ. Secondly, we have a lot to be thankful for tonight. But as I shared with you this morning, I really believe this. I really believe in my innermost heart and being today that I think our nation, our country, and the world we live is being challenged and tested to the core right now, even yet this very year. There's a lot of things I hear and see on the horizon out there that if it was to come to pass a change of leadership in our country and our nation, I mean, you're talking about in leadership roles in America and words like socialism and communism and that versus capitalism or versus a free economy in our society and the world in which we live. Religious freedoms and the challenges that we have. And so we have much to be thankful for, and we have much that we can pray over. And so he says here, don't worry about it. God's got it in control. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, what do you request? What do you say? You know, and I think you just pour your heart out to the Lord. Whatever's on your heart, you let that request be made known unto the Lord and lift that up. So prayer is absolutely crucial. Look in verse 7. then I think in all these blessings that Paul gives of the church of Philippi, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your, what, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people that are not living in peace, and that peace that passeth all understanding comes from knowing Christ, comes from being positioned in Christ, comes from being able to trust in the Lord and lean not unto ourselves, but trust in Him for all things. And so in verse 7, I think is a key verse here, and let the peace of God which passeth all understanding keep your hearts and your minds, your heart and that which is close to the Lord, your mind in Christ Jesus, and keep that close to Him. And if you think about it today, the wicked or the unbeliever or those without God, those without Christ, I think many struggle without inner peace. And peace comes by Christ through His death on the cross of Calvary. So the peace of God, we says here, that passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and will keep your mind there. To be able to put our heads down at night and to go to sleep, realizing you have peace, total joy, total peace, total contentment of in Christ, that God is in control. Look in verse 9 then, he said, and he's talking about these here, the presence of God and all these things about peace. He said, whatever things are true, whatever things in verse 8 that are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I've shared this before. Did you ever think about what you think about? Controlling your thought processes. You and I have choices every day we get up, and we can make a choice. What are you going to spend your time today thinking about? And what are you going to put in your mind and in your heart and to be able to dwell on? And so that's why he says here, he gives some suggestion, he gives some things, really they're commandments in the Bible, whatsoever things are true, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's a good report, whatever's virtue, whatever's praise, these things, think on these things. You know, our brains are like computers, and you can think about multiple things at one time, and it can get off track and get off focus and head in the wrong direction. And that's not what he wants here. So may the peace of God here, and that may we think upon Him. I don't know about you. Sometimes I think it's just good just to think about God, just to come aside. I shared with Sunday school this morning. If you were up early today, some don't like to get up early, but if you were up early, when the at eastern sky, you look over in the east and you see that sun starting to come up. I saw the most beautiful sunrise this morning at about 6:30 in the morning. And that sun, you know, began to come up, and the sky was just beautiful red. And I'm looking at that as I'm leaving Frankenmuth early this morning. I look over, and I see that it looked like this pillar coming down out of the clouds. And I looked at it. I could not help but think of the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And I couldn't get that out of my mind over in the book of Exodus. And to look, and I just had to pause, stop the car, and just take a good look and just say, my, the majesty and the greatness and the holiness of God, and to see, God, what a great God and creator God that you are. And to realize as you start your day out that all things can be in control. We should not live to be anxious or in turmoil or worrying about this or that or whatever. That God has everything in control if we'll just trust Him and lean upon Him and praise Him and honor Him and put Him first. And He will give us that inner peace. So in verse 9, he says, these things that I just mentioned here in verse 8, these things which ye both have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do, and then the God of peace shall be with you. So do these things, take on these things, and the presence of God, and ask God that this peace shall be with you. And the hour of trouble, and the time of trial, the time of tribulation, the time of testing, the time of challenges, that God is always there right in the middle of all that, whatever it is that we're going through. We find, if you will, and I love this, is one of the great verses in all the Bible here in verse 13. This would be number 6. Is to realize the power of God. He said, I literally can do, Paul said, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think that verse is the verse that unlocks the whole chapter. And literally all things are possible. And we are nothing within ourselves, and so we're utterly helpless. For John put it that way in John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing. So to be able to do what we do that in Christ by the power of God that He puts within us. And by doing that leads us down to verse 19, which we shared with you a moment ago, and God's provision along the way. My God shall supply all your needs. Doesn't say once, doesn't say, God, I'm praying for that new Cadillac. If you can put that in the driveway tomorrow, I'd appreciate that. And, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he said here, I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think two key thoughts in this verse that is absolutely crucial. It talks about needs, what we need. There's a big difference between what we need and what we want many times. And God said, I'm going to supply all your needs. If I can take care of the sparrow, and I can take care of the creation, I can take care of all that, I can take care of you. And the things, and don't worry about that. Don't be anxious for that. And to realize that all that is in control, my God will supply all your need according to what his, here's the second thought on this, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is a lot better off. God has more wealth. God has more attributes. God has more of everything if you and I can just learn to trust him and to realize. And oh, if we just don't get away from him, just stay hooked to him, stay connected to him, and to realize he can do much better than what we can. His attributes that he, that God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, he is eternal, he's the all-knowing God. Why would we not trust him? And then to realize here that he will supply all of our needs. And, you know, sometimes we think we know what we need, and what we think we need is maybe not what we really need. God knows what we need. And he'll give us that day by day, hour by hour, week by week, as we trust him exactly what we need. If we got everything we wanted, sometimes, you know, it's interesting, we may, some things you may not want to ask for. I was sharing with those in Sunday school this morning that what a transition when you look in Numbers chapter 21. Go back, and when you get a minute and you go home tonight, read Numbers chapter 21, and you can see how you know, praising the Lord and to realize that sometimes discouragement can come or things can happen because sometimes we get what we ask for. And so sometimes it's interesting to see how that, Israel, it's an amazing thing. When I first got to Bible school, you know, they told us, they said, well, before you graduate, you're going to have to write a thesis. And I didn't know what I was going to write a thesis on, and I never had written a thesis before. And so I decided after much prayer and researching whatever, I was going to do a thesis or do it on the nation of Israel. And so I spent hours and hours and hours in the library reading this and reading that and reading everything. And I began to track and to see that Israel's life and Israel's history, that they would start out and you know, they'd be on the mountaintop. And then all of a sudden on that mountaintop, they would forget about God. And they would go their own way and kind of life is pretty good and making their own choices. Next thing you know, they start sliding down that slippery slope. And there they go. If you track Israel through the Old Testament, it's kind of like just up and down. It's kind of like a wave all the way through. They get on the mountaintop and life is good and everything, and all of a sudden they forget the Lord. And life is good. And so when you think about it, then they, you know, they would slide all the way to the bottom till they hit the very bottom. And then it got down. All of a sudden they realized that why was life so difficult and the challenge they had. And then the Bible says they remembered the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but I was reading over there in a part of the scripture there, and it talks about God was always there for Israel. He was always there to provide mercy. He was always there to provide grace. God is always a God of second chances, and his grace was always there and sufficient to be able to help. So no matter how far that somebody might get away from the Lord, and Israel did many times over and over again, God always brought them back. And the Bible says that they are the apple of his eye. They are his chosen people. They're the ones that he loves. And woe unto that nation, woe unto that country that raises their hand against the nation of Israel. And God loved them and always welcomed them back in their mercy and their kindness. So these things tonight, as you think about here, what Paul wraps up here in this chapter in Philippians 4, is our position. Don't ever lose sight of your position in Christ. You're a child of the King, and you're born into the family of God, and you have certain rights and privileges that come along with that. And that we can always, no matter how difficult life becomes, always find something to be thankful for and to praise his good name for and to be thankful for. Realizing there that I think one of the greatest things, Brother Purnell, Purnell called me this week. And he said, Pastor, God's laid something on my heart. And he said, I want to share it with you. And he said, I'd like to share it with the congregation. So he shared it with me this week. And then he said, can I share that with the congregation? He said, I just want to have a burden more for prayer. And so he laid out, I was getting ready for baptism this morning, he laid out what God's laid on his heart, and he shared it with all of you. And I don't think we can do enough in prayer and bringing things before the Lord. Especially, there becomes times that I think it's more critical that we earnestly go to Him in the power of prayer. And so we see here that that's one of the things that we can find in the blessings that we have is to be able to communicate with the Heavenly Father and pray and have that relationship with Him. You know, it's interesting. I think back at Leo Thorsness. I've shared with you, Leo Thorsness was a member of our church when I pastored in South Dakota, and Leo was in the United States Air Force, and he was flying, they called them the Weasels, or it was military jet, I'm trying to remember which one it was, but anyway, they would do bombing runs over Vietnam, and I think Leo, I'd have to look at the numbers, see exact, but he was something like on mission number 93, 94, whatever, and once he got to 100, he was coming home to America. Coming back to his family. His wife lived there in Brandon, South Dakota, just outside of Sioux Falls. And his job was to go in and to take out the SAM missile sites in Vietnam with the jet that he was flying. So they would go in, lock on, the radar would lock on where the SAM missile sites are and take out those missile sites. But one day on a mission run, he took a missile, a Vietnam missile, that came right up through the jet engine and exploded the jet. And he ejected out over Vietnam and came down. He hit his one knee coming out of the cockpit and shattered that knee. Time he got down, landed in the treetops, got out of the parachute, got down on the ground. He only made it about 200 yards, and the North Vietnamese were all over him. He spent 6 years as a POW in Vietnam, 6 years in a prison camp. First 3 years were in solitary confinement. That means no other human being in there with you. You're in a jail cell in the Hanoi Hilton by yourself, dark and cold and dreary. And he said, it is a test of the will to be able to survive in an environment like that. I said, Leo, how in the world did you ever do that? I said, I don't think most people would have the courage, ability to do that. He says, you got to strengthen your mind. It's a mind game. And he said, and the power of prayer and to be able to get me through that. And God brought him through that. And after 6 years, was released, came back to America, and he went on to run in a political office in California and won and served in politics a little bit. A dedicated believer in Christ, he said, Pastor, he said, the only way I survived that is because of my Christianity and my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and what I believed about Him. And he said, you'd spend day after day after day after day praising the Lord in prayer. And then he said, the only Bible you could remember is when you went to Sunday school or church and you remember this and that. They didn't have Bibles. They did Morse code from cell to cell. And they'd tap on the wall the next guy next to him. And finally, when they got out of confinement after 3 years, they allowed him to get together in small groups. And then they allowed him to begin to have, as the war was beginning to end, they allowed him to have services together and hold it together. And they said, we didn't have Bibles, we didn't have songbooks, we didn't have any of that. He said, but we found a good reason to praise the Lord, and this man knew this verse, and this man knew this verse, or this person knew this song, or whatever, and we picked up a little bit there and pieced it all together. And he said, and we made it through 6 years at the Hanoi Hilton. I can't imagine that. And yeah, he had all the scars and the wounds and his wife and his daughter, what a struggle that was to be able to watch that man. And even on all that, found good reason to praise the Lord and to count your blessings. Why? Because Leo understood his position in Christ, number one. And number two, you can always, in the deepest and the darkest of days, find something to praise the Lord for. And even sitting in the Hanoi Hilton, you can find something to praise the Lord for. And then prayer, the power of prayer. I'll tell you what, bringing out the best in your Christianity is to get put in a tough situation like that and to see if you really have your faith and your belief and your faith in God. And so to realize that, you know, just keep your faith in the Lord and go one day at a time, and he was able to get through all that. Our position in Christ, our praise, our prayer, our peace, our presence with him, and the power of God to be able to, I can literally do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray.